Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge 30-30 Wrap-Up Podcast for episode 12. I am Brian Cohn. With me, as always, is my co-host, Al Ledger. Ali, how are you?
I'm doing well, although considering that it's episode 12, I feel like I, too, like Nelson, am in a pattern of destructive behavior.
You see, because I've now fully embraced that this season is going to go forever, that I thought this was the best episode of the season. I was so in on this episode. Couldn't say enough good things about it.
So I don't.
Other than the end.
I don't think it was the best episode of the season, but it's not because I haven't embraced that it's going to be long. Like the length of the episodes really hasn't bothered me week after week. On the whole, it's just like crazy to think about. But interesting that you thought this was the best episode of the season. I think it was the best. I don't want to say edited, but they gave us a lot more strategy than we usually get, which was great. Yeah. Yeah. But overall, I don't think it was the most entertaining for me.
Okay, that's fair. I was all in on the challenges. I thought this was the most strategic thought this show has given us in years. That I just loved it. Obviously, we didn't get the payoff because this, of course, is the season. But just like the fact that we got it, I think was just great. And I love both challenges, the elimination and the actual challenge. So I thought they were both great.
Really quick, while we're on the topic of things being great, we got a number of 5-star reviews. I just want to thank Meg Lip, E Wolf, Danielle Six Pond, Caitlin 1749. Oh, actually, that's Rari the one. I already thanked her earlier today. Ms. Me, who you might recall, Ms. Me 12 from the reality TV Rehab Ups reviews. Well, thank you if you review us on both places. So thank you. Stinky.
We'll take reviews in all places.
Stinky is my zombie and baseball forever. So we had a good show last week. We have surpassed 200 reviews this week, which was my personal goal. We are now at 206, but I have a new goal.
300.
No, let's not get crazy. My new goal is we have 182 5-star reviews. I think it's doable to now start tracking those to 200. So thank you to everyone who reviewed us. Thank you to everyone who hates us and just decides to stop listening instead of panning us. You can give us your opinion at robhasawebsite.com/challenge iTunes to join the fun.
Yeah, let's join the 200 club.
Yes, which will be the sole members because we haven't told anyone else about it.
And we made it up. Yeah. Exactly. It's our club.
Yeah, I'm still not. I said this on the Are You the One podcast today because they're doing some funky ordering stuff too, and it's just like we have to just like Mitch watch principles, choose to love everything we hate about it. But from a podcaster's perspective, whether or not it's affecting the enjoyment of watching it, podcasting in this topsy-turvy order is really hard for me, at least. Like I'm like looking at my notes, I'm like, wait, what? Okay, this happened, we started at nominations, okay, what?
Yeah, I mean it's always hard to like kick the episode off again. Like I always feel the first couple minutes of the season are always a little bumpy because you're kind of like jumping back into like a dream. It feels like you're like, oh, this is where we are. Okay. And then like once it gets going, it just feels like a normal episode.
So we had this crazy cliffhanger. Like you can't vote for Nelson. That's who they were going to vote for. And as expected, we get 3 votes on Dario and Hunter's, you know, I was going to say pity vote, but it's really just a revenge vote on Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, I find it interesting that, I mean, I think it's more weird that like the people that voted the throwaway votes, like the one that was tossed to Jemmy from Hunter, like that could have actually backfired. And I think it would have been very interesting if CT just decided to like burn Hunter and vote out Jemmy just to spite him.
Well, I mean, he wouldn't be voting him out, right? It would have at best been a tie, which we see in the preview for next week, how that results. But it wasn't like, you know, the best he could do was force a tie, which doesn't really seem like CT's MO.
Yeah, I guess maybe it was someone else that could have done it. But I mean, when there's only 4 votes, like it's hard to just throw away a vote unless you're literally last. So, I mean, it's not a great move. It's risky, I think, a little bit.
I guess I think here it's like less risky because the other three people voting are voting in a block. You're the clear odd man out. Voting with the group isn't going to benefit you at all. Voting with the group against one of your potential allies, you know, it's fine. Like to me, this is like a neutral for Hunter. He wasn't going to make an enemy of Dario or Veronica by voting with the group, but he also doesn't make an enemy of the majority alliance like Camilla did because he isn't in the majority. He already is an enemy of the majority lion. So I think it was just kind of, if anything, it gave the producers something to give a shit about, but not me.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess the voting kind of went as we thought it would with Veronica and Dario going in. I thought the one of the more interesting conversations is the one that happened right after when everyone started to bash on Tony.
Yeah. We do get some great confirmation that Tony is as shitty as we talk about him being. So maybe people can flood Jenna and Bananas' inbox, but I think we're an easier target for internet trolls. I will say, I was later impressed with Tony. This line from Jenna, I would have totally agreed with at the time. It's not how we really see Tony situation play out. But yeah, Tony is the bitch of the group. Like, he is the one that's on the clear bottom. And I was surprised to see that Tony was so surprised when it's, I think, clear as day to everyone else.
I'm not surprised that Tony's not surprised. I think Tony can very easily, like, have the blinders on and go about his business, and until something slaps him in the face, he's not going to realize exactly where he stands. And I think even like this, I think people can spin it that and Tony can get Tony back under their good graces. I don't think any, until Tony actually does something specifically to go against the group. I mean, here, like, there's no really options. No one really left. But until, like, in a future season, he's clearly going against the Bananas crew, I'm expecting to come running right back.
I will say, this, and I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but, like, there are ways to massage Tony in a way that he could have been voted in by every single person the double cross and wouldn't have burned him. I think they really misplayed Tony here, and it just seemed lazy. But we'll get to it later. I was surprised. TJ's, like, touting this as the biggest double cross of the season, and I was like, what could that possibly mean? And then it's like, it's just literally by size.
Yeah, that's how we judge it. So, size matters for double crosses.
Yeah, so up for the double cross are Tony, Derek, Leroy, Bananas, and Jordan. You'll notice they're one man down because of Nelson's absence. Took me a little while to realize that. And up for the women are Brittany, Anissa, Tori, Jemmy, Kara, and Jenna. So there is some intrigue with who's going to go in, I think, on both sides until Tori pulls the double cross.
Yeah. I'm very happy that Anissa didn't give like a, oh my God, I can't believe she targeted me. What the hell is this bullshit? This is blah, blah, blah. Like, it was, she took it exactly as she did. You know what? I voted for her. This is clean as day. She's going to turn around and vote for me.
Well, she's not Camilla. Like, Anissa, gets it.
Yeah.
I will say, I also liked how Dario handled getting voted in. Like, when TJ's like, oh, are you just skating by? And he's like, well, I'd be lying if I said it wasn't easy so far. Everyone's having good attitudes this week.
Yeah, it's all chipper, all happy. No horrible words being said.
Yeah, not be careful. I don't know. I'm like, always afraid. Every episode we don't have to talk about racism is a good episode by my standards. Sexual violence, physical violence, all of that too.
Let's stick to, like, who people are just going to send to the redemption house to come back 2 weeks later. Let's focus on that drama.
Please guide the way.
Yeah, so Jordan's got he's like, the people from Portland always have the four luck clover up their ass. So Jordan pulls the double cross again.
I will say, like, does this not make Jordan's stupid move in free agents even better? Because, like, if luck transfers, he would have just been fine in free agents way longer than when he pulled every single card. I'm like, you had it. You had the luck and you wasted it.
I'm surprised no one's, I mean, I guess it kind of gets brought up, but, like, especially in this season where it's so specifically similar to that no one's like, oh my God, Jordan, you did all that last time and now you're, like, avoiding it. Like, what is this weird karma you have going on?
Yeah. But it is a bad, it's lucky, right? But it's also not lucky because now he threw in Hunter twice and he gets the blame. Like, this is where Tony's maybe missing it a little bit. Like, when he says, oh, like, I got my eye on Jordan. Like, Jordan is a mouthpiece of the larger group. It's not just Jordan. And Hunter's issue with Jordan setting him in twice. Jordan is a player in this, like, or cog in this big wheel. So, like, you're lucky because you know you're safe, but you're also unlucky because you're the one taking the responsibility for it.
Yeah, especially doubly so with the season, the fact that, like, everyone just comes back after being eliminated anyway. So it's not even like, oh, I got a 50-50 chance they go home. You have, like, a 50-50 chance that they just come back into it.
I will say, here, I just want to point out Bananas also, like, explaining, this is like goes to your point of this episode, like, everybody is we're getting so much more strategy edited in, which in this case, like we both said, like, if you're gonna have a long episode, give us the strategy other than the redemption house. I was very pleased in that sense. And here, yeah, like Bananas is explaining, like, the group is hitting Tony because he's the guy with the least chance of coming back, and that's our thought process. Boom, explanation done. We know why Anise is in. We know why Tony's in. We know why Dario and Veronica are in. This is the first time in a while that, like, all of those holes have been filled by the edit.
Yeah, they're really laying out a clear picture of where everyone stands, and even not even just where, just why people stand that way, why people are going into. Like, I actually have a good grasp of, like, the sides and why, like, what might happen at a given elimination or double cross, whatever.
Yeah, later we'll get to it, but we get, like, a very clear, like, Jemmy even says, like, okay, who are the sides? And I was like, wow, this is beautiful.
We get an HR org chart going on.
Yeah, exactly. But before we get to that, we have to watch this play out. What'd you think of this elimination? The Presidio?
It's called the Web of Lies. I was in on it. I was confused exactly how it would work. I thought, like, once they got down, I didn't realize how, like, durable the styrofoam or whatever it is they were trying to get, the saran wrap, whatever it is they were trying to get through. I thought they would have to, like, literally climb the fence to get back up. I needed to see it play out until I understood it, but I liked it. I thought it encompasses a good amount of what the challenge is.
What I liked about this is it involved two very different skill sets both ways. So, like, while Dario seemed to go a bit faster than Tony on the way down, Tony definitely has the advantage going up because Dario maybe has, like, his mass is more, like, weight, where Tony is more muscular. So, like, mm-hmm. in terms of, like, pulling your body weight up on the way up, like, it did add more interest, I think, in the challenge. Not really for the women. I think Veronica won this pretty easily, but I did think this was an interesting challenge. Definitely have not been disappointing me in the challenge on the challenge front.
No, it was very impressive wins for Tony and Veronica. I mean, that's now what, two eliminations wins for each of them, I think. So at the end of the day, like, they get put in and that they keep winning. That's good. I don't stand Tony. Like, Tony can look so good here, and then, like, he does another challenge and he, like, trips over himself like a buffoon. So, like, he's still very difficult to figure out.
Well, Ashley Bedazzlewood says, was she the only one surprised to see or shocked to see Tony win an elimination? So, like, this challenge is very Tony, like, in the way that you describe Nelson's abilities, like, do the task, perform, done. Like, Tony didn't really have to think this through. It was just go up, mm-hmm. go down, untie the bag, bring it up, like, and he's against Dario. Not to discredit him, but just, like, he's not exactly against, like, a huge competitor, just like Veronica is not against, I mean, Nisa is a good competitor, but she's not the best.
No. I thought it was a pretty even fight. I think it could have gone either way. So, I mean, it wasn't like I didn't think either side was, like, a big upset. So I thought it was pretty even.
But this is why, like, I think when you add more elements to a challenge for a Nelson or a Tony style player, it complicates it to the point where they can't really play. Even, like, the trivia, answer the question, stand here. Like, there's no teamwork. There's no strategy. Like, that's where, like, Tony can do, like, brute strength.
Yep. As long as he doesn't get flustered in a moment of, like, chaos, which he didn't seem to. Like, it seemed to went pretty smoothly all in all. That's when he would, that's when he can go astray.
I will say it was, like, pretty nauseating to me to watch Kayla, like, talk about how Veronica needs to prove herself. And we got that in her vote, but we also got it, like, all of this conversation around Veronica needing to prove herself to, like, the newbies. What did you make of that?
I can understand why people don't like Kayla, especially I think we only get, like, a little taste of it sometimes about, like, her, like, self-righteousness. And I think this taste might be a little more of what the norm is to, like, be around Kayla 24/7. So I think I'm starting to get an understanding of why she is generally hated.
Yeah. And it's, there's no self-awareness too. So, like, normally a character like Kayla owns it. I feel like she is the way she is, but then she also doesn't own it. She's like, I don't understand why everyone's going after me. Like, why everyone wants to throw me in. It's like, at least own. I feel like a Katie, a Veronica, and a Nisa, like, owns that they're the worst at times, you know, like, they own their abrasiveness, their aggressiveness. Like, Kayla, to me, if you're a bitch, be a bitch and own that and, like, be proud of it, and I'll like you for it. She, like, is, like, telling Veronica she needs to prove herself when Kayla's only been to two challenges, and then also it's like, but why is everyone so mean to me?
Yeah. Yeah, she's the classic, like, what is it? What's the, this is a very disturbing phrase. What is it, like, pee on your face but tell you it's raining type of person?
It's not on your face, Mr. President. So don't pee on me and tell me it's raining.
There you go.
So we got a question. We got a couple questions because TJ's about to drop a redemption bomb. But before that, Dario's out now. Tony's established as the next sort of Lois besides Hunter. I can't stand how boring the men's boot order is. And Will Simon asked me a pretty tricky question. I don't have an answer to it. Which do you prefer? Seasons like this, where for the most part, everyone continually throws in weak players because they, quote, don't want them on a team, or seasons where weak players are dragged to the final as a layup?
I'd rather weak players be tossed in because I'd rather the potential. I don't know if we're going to get the payoff. I don't know how it's going to go, but I'd rather always have the potential of like a great couple last eliminations than just like layups.
So I'm not going to answer this. I don't want either of these. I'm just so, so upset. Like seeing Jordan, we talked about this before when Jordan pulled the double cross. Like Jordan, who had all the potential in the world to be, as you said, the future of the challenge, like had the attitude of Corey, but had the physical ability to back it up. And when we see him like faced with, he could flip on any single one of these like strong men and just going with the group. Oh, Tony, you're next on the chopping block. Sorry, bro. Like, if there was just two factions of strong physical people, and there's no reason that there can't be, and I don't understand. It's what we're going to see on the women's side, I think, between Cara, Camilla, and Kayla and Jenna, which is being teed up, which is awesome.
That's super fun. Yeah, that's super fun.
Where is the Jordan of yesteryear? Like, he retired, became a model, and came back as a bananas bitch. Like, where are you? Throw in someone. Derek, bananas, CT, everyone was there for you. So I just can't stand this boot order. I don't want them layups at the end, but I want them to go at each other.
No, but see, I'm fine with this Jordan move. And I think the Jordan that we want, I think because Jordan's like a really good spot, other than the fact that he has to keep tossing people in because he's winning this double cross. But like, he's not the monster target that a CT or bananas is. And he's not like so obviously like trying to ride coattails like someone like Leroy. So I think Jordan is like the third or fourth guy on most people's like hit list. And I don't see why he should flip the script and go after a bananas or CT in that moment, because that all that does is flip the script on him, especially when not only do you then have to hope the person gets eliminated, you have to hope they don't come back from redemption. I think the Jordan you want to see is what we're going to see at the very beginning of next episode, because I would hope to think he's about to take his shot at either CT or bananas there.
No, but this is a TV show, right? So Will's asking, which season do I prefer? This is what I prefer, where somebody who's maybe not even in their best interest, like a Corey, to be doing this. But that's television. Like this, if season after season, season after season, the men behave the way that they are, the show is broken. You cannot make television week after week after week after week, boot order, boot order. I almost think that's why the Redemption House is working here, or that's why this season is working, because they can't get rid of all of these people so that it's just a pure, like, down the line of people basically bowing out in favor of the people on top.
I guess so, but then we want Jordan to, like, go rogue, and then we make fun of him for flipping all the cards or whatever, so it's kind of tough for him to do it both ways.
No, that's entertaining. Like, it's totally entertaining. I think
we still get shit for it.
There are two different schools of thought here, right? Like, this is, I think recently on a Know It All, Steven said something like this, like, you're rooting for someone to do something that maybe isn't in their best strategic interests, but it makes damn good television. And that's what Bananas is pretty good at. Like, he's stirring the pot in a way that doesn't affect his game. So he's making good television and he's worth his weight on the show. Like, Jordan to me has not been worth his weight on the show in that sense. Is he making good moves for himself? Sure. Is he putting himself in a good position? I totally agree. But if Will's asking me, what season do I prefer? I prefer somebody like when Wes and Bananas are on together working against each other. Those are always going to be my favorite seasons. And there just isn't anyone who can convincingly lead a minority faction or who has the athletic ability on their side. And it's,
no, that's fair.
I don't think it's sustainable.
The only thing I would say is to go against, like, maybe this is why they have the redemption, is that the fact that they didn't have the redemption, we would have had this core group of like 5-6 guys already having to turn themselves. It just so happened that all the people they want out just keep coming back. So it's like, all right, we'll just toss them back in again. And then they come back, and all right, we'll just toss them back in again. So they've never had to go against each other because, first of all, the underdog people have never really been in power. And the people that they want to just keep coming out are just cockroaches that just keep coming back.
You know, I'm just saying with the Redemption House, or if the Redemption House didn't exist right now, sure, it'd be Tony, then probably Derek, then probably Jordan, then probably Leroy, CT, and Bananas, depending on whoever didn't win the challenge. Like, it's, yeah, they're going to go against each other, but it's in this way of like, well, we've all decided now, Tony, you're the next, and then we're all going to decide that Derek's the next or Jordan's the next. Like, it's just the clear boot order to me, even though we're going to see great physical eliminations, there's no, like, tension in it, right? It's just like it's like the mass of the group and the individual like trying to battle that once they've been identified as the bottom.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll see. It's like after this, after Tony, I don't know if there really is a clear food order from that group of like 5 or 6 people, whatever it is.
CT, Leroy, and Bananas have to be closer than Derek and Jordan are to the center.
I don't know. I think Bananas would stick with, I think he would cut CT quicker than he would cut Derek.
What makes you say that?
I think just the Bananas and Derek have always had a pretty good history together, and I think he views CT as more of a threat.
That's the one thing maybe with the threat that I'll agree with. But I feel like, I don't know. Interesting. We'll see. All right. So what do you think? I don't know where the... Oh, PJ Gawin says, thoughts on TJ being totally upfront about the Redemption House and yet still hiding the $1 million twist?
The million, this is like, I need to like know what this is adding. Like, I still have absolutely no concept of a thought of why they're hiding this.
It's got to be once the redemption is over that they're going to announce it, right? Like, it has
to
be.
But what does it add? Like, what would they be doing differently?
No, nothing. It doesn't add anything, but that's like got to be when it's going to get inserted.
I guess so.
Something else to say. I'm going to make the announcement. And then TJ's like, guys. And then it's like next week, you know, like then you see Jonathan Murray.
But to say why I think he announced it here is strictly because of what he's about to say at the after the challenge, right? They're sending two people home immediately. We're sending two people to the Redemption House.
Yeah, well, he tells them before the challenge, which I think is good.
Right, but I'm saying why he sent that those two going home, we're going to the Redemption House, is because of what he, rather than telling them, rather than thinking that sending two people literally out of the game, they just know they're going to the Redemption House.
Yeah, no, I think this is, oh, I'm sorry, now I see what you're saying. You meant the elimination. Okay, sorry about that.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I think it's smart. Like, I think we were, like, even the last Redemption House, we were talking about, like, oh, like, they have to know it, right? And, like, they can't be surprised anymore when they walk in. So at least, like, we're embracing it. I think this would have been better from the very beginning. Like, sure, you lose the shock value of the first go round. Maybe you want to keep that. But I think this makes it way more interesting strategically. This is what we've been asking for. We want to hear them talk about it, see if they're considering it. So I like it. I think it should have been. It's like Redemption Island is known.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
In certain situations, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is a big spin, but worth talking about. Ricky Cavalier says, do you think spending so much time in the Redemption House is beneficial for Anissa's chances in future challenges? She gets a chance to build genuine relationships with a lot of people who dislike her in the game.
That's the hell of a spin zone. Yeah. I think she could keep telling herself that. Plus, if she's only spending time bonding with one person at a time, she's spending less time annoying other people.
She's also spending less time, like, eligible to win the game. But I don't think this is beneficial for Anissa's chances.
No, it's definitely not. But it's still a great spin zone.
Edward Morris says, are we likely to see Anissa win Redemption again?
I would say no, based on the fact that I think Kara is about to be joining her.
I'm also going to say no with the sincere hope that this isn't some bullshit and we're not going to see like weak people voted into Redemption House. You know, like, I hope this buildup of like, oh, I'm going to go for the big guns or we're going to make a big move isn't just bullshit to lead into the next episode. If it's not, I agree. I think we're definitely getting Kara, Camilla into the Redemption House if the edit reads correctly, which it never does.
Totally fair.
And I just think Anissa's done. Like, I just think almost no matter who goes in now, goes to Redemption, is like at least two people are going to be at the Redemption House before the next one, if not more. And I think they could all probably beat Anissa depending on the competition.
Aren't we getting a purge too, or is that like a joke?
Well, I don't know.
When's this purge?
Yeah, I don't know if the purge is going to be after the Redemption House, before, if that's what they're now calling the Redemption House challenge. No, that's not it. But good. Yeah, I don't know. I think there are going to be a lot more people in the Redemption House who could beat her, and maybe just in general, if they do it after the purge, then it could be like five or six people competing for one spot.
Maybe. Which would, yeah, maybe.
All right, Two-Face Veronica here, going back into the game with Jemmy and Brittany, immediately throwing Anissa under the bus.
Yeah, I love it. Good for her. So I think this is, she's finally taking a little control over Dusty, breaking tides. I like it.
If anything, Anissa ruined her game because Anissa didn't save her from being in the Presidio by making her not picked last in CT's eyes.
That was a point she probably should have brought up also.
I like Jemmy's spin on the Redemption House, that like somehow she's framing this as now it's time for strong people to go in so only one of them can come back. Like other people might say, put in as many weak people as you can so that you can beat them when they come back.
Yeah, or whenever there's not a Redemption House, wouldn't you still want to put two people strong? Because that way you guarantee one just actually goes home.
Right, but this is in terms of the who do I least want on my team thing.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's always, no matter what the twist is, you always want strong people out of the game. So I don't really know the spin that Jemmy was trying to do there.
Well, it's a spin against what's been happening. So good for her.
Yeah.
I didn't realize where Brittany lied here. I didn't realize that Brittany was more in the Veronica and Jemmy camp. Because didn't Brittany and Veronica have a bit of a beef, an artificial beef early on?
I guess they're kind of bonding over their shared hatred, or not hatred, just like knowing like underdog status against like the core five top girls.
Which then I love that we see that there are factions amongst the top. So this is like Jemmy, Veronica, and Brittany are a clear trio now. With Kayla, Tori, Jenna, Camilla, and Kara being on the elite squad. But
here's a question. Why is Tori with them? Why isn't Tori with Brittany, Jemmy, and Veronica? Isn't that a lot better of like a group for Tori to like kind of hitch her wagons with?
I agree. I just think it's more based on athletic ability this season because they're using that who do I not want on my team mentality. And Tori clearly is someone you'd want on your team. But in terms of like strategy, I don't know. Like, I feel like Tori has come in the season, right or wrong, not looking to rock the boat in any sense of the term. So like if she's with the clear majority who are also tied to Bananas, she'll ride that wave rather than leading the faction. Wasn't her boyfriend like voted in by a group that she was on the winners in the winner's circle for?
I can't believe that was this season. Holy crap. Yeah. That feels like forever ago.
So like, you know, she's not really willing to put her neck out for anyone.
Yeah, wasn't she supposed to, like, cheat on him? When's that happening?
Like, we're, like, light years away from that. Probably in 2018.
Maybe she cheats on him two seasons from now. Derek just know it.
One thing is Tori did tweet. Somebody tweeted at whoever. Said, was I seeing things or was that Brittany in the room with Tori, Jenna, Kayla, being buddy-buddy, LMAO, all talk, and Tori retweeted it and said, casually plays No Frauds by Nicki Minaj. So I guess Brittany has been hanging on both sides, but almost, like, good for her, like, whatever.
Yeah, what's wrong with trying to be friends with everyone? Maybe Kayla should try to do that.
Good point. this was the most infuriating part of the episode for me, when the guys are already shit-talking the Redemption House people who come back. Okay, Bananas, like, definitely join in on that conversation that nobody should ever be a winner who goes to the Redemption House.
Yeah, I totally actually kind of forgot that he was the one that emerged from the first Redemption. Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah, he's like, oh, it's like a foster home for you. It's a foster home for you, Bananas.
I thought that was a very funny line, but that's a very fair.
He's a fucking hypocrite. I'm trying to, like, that, how is that a funny line? It's a foster home for people like you who then will go on to win the challenge and never talk about it again.
I chuckled. I got a laugh.
Well, you're an easy audience. That's why we keep you around.
Exactly.
Derek Boucher says, are they foreshadowing a Redemption returnee winning the whole thing?
I don't know. They've been foreshadowing this season's been foreshadowed for everyone, so I have no idea.
I don't think so. I think it's, like, normal to have... They have so little to show. Like, this was a semi-interesting conversation about the guys in the house shit-talking the Redemption people. Yeah. Who, odds are, at least one of the people in that room is going to be in the Redemption house, and I'm sure their attitude will change about it once it's them. Yep. Bananas.
Exactly, Linda.
All right. Here's where Tony's going to get my kudos. The Tony Hunter Alliance.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's I'll give him kudos for at least like talking about it. I still won't give him kudos till he actually executes it.
Right, and I will say, like, well, we're jumping ahead a million times, but the at least he doesn't say, like, I don't know. Well, I give him kudos. You're right. I mean, he's in a position where, like, Hunter could get sent home, right? In this team.
Yep. Yep.
So we'll see. I do love it, though. I just love to me, they are hateable separately, but lovable together. I don't know why. Like, they should be
greater than the parts.
Yeah. 100%. And their sum isn't that great, but I do love
it. Still greater.
And at least kudos to Tony for not immediately coming back, as I would have predicted, to the main alliance and looking at his side options. You know, maybe Hunter doesn't turn out to be safe. Putting his neck out for Hunter doesn't turn out to gain him any favor in his mind. So he ends up not doing it. But at least he's, like, shopping around. Because if Hunter wins, which he's been doing, then he benefits.
There's one thing Tony's good at is looking at his side options.
Yeah, right. God. That's the winner. We can just end the show now. That was amazing.
Thank you.
I forgive you for thinking bananas was funny.
I appreciate it. I'll take it.
Were you going to say something? Sorry.
I was not. I was ready to go to the challenge.
All right. Last thing on Tony and Hunter. This is what I think they didn't do right by Tony. Bananas pulls Tony one-on-one. And I will say Bananas has been a good friend to Tony in the sense that, like, he was looking out for him this season, pulling him away when he's drunk, whatever. Bananas comes to Tony and is like, look, like, we need you. You've got the height on Dario. Whatever bullshit, your ego. Like, we need you to go in there and execute. Derek's a little wary of you, like, your loyalties. Like, if you're willing to do this, like, we're in this all the way. And then Jordan's are next, you know, whatever. Stroke Tony and he'll come back to you. I think that was the issue, is that nobody said a word to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's kind of like that, the thing in Survivor, where people kind of take their friends for granted and then those friends get bitter and go against them. I think the people you have to coddle the most are the ones that are closest to you, and they kind of forgot about that.
Right. And then, last thing before the challenge, we have to talk about how Camilla and Kara don't have enough drama, so they have to stir shit up out of nowhere with Kayla and Jenna. Kayla's Camilla's, like, even when Camilla's sober, it's like Camilla's drunk ass is, like, saying ridiculous things. I will never care about Camilla, so I just don't care anymore. But she's like, I could have split you two up, so you have to owe me. You have to thank me. They don't owe you shit, Camilla. Like, she is the worst strategic player in the universe, much less the game right now.
The one thing I just always love about, you get these people, like these warring factions, they're trying to, like, bond, but they're really going against each other, and Camilla is just in, like, a classic club dress. It's just, like, that's, like, the challenge. Like, they're ready to go to the club, but they're also ready to, like, battle out over, like, thousands of dollars. It's great.
But also, like, they're in bed. I love it. Like, Kayla and Jenna are, like, in for the night. Camilla's in this, like, horrific red dress. I mean, it's fine, but if it's on Camilla, it's horrific. I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad for Camilla. I will not forget what happened.
She looked good. I mean,
Camilla is a racist piece of garbage. She never looks good to me. That matters.
That's totally fair, but just, like, pure superficially, she looked good.
Ugh, gross.
She's like the Curb Your Enthusiasm episode.
You could see her just, like, oozing disgustingness.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the challenge.
Yeah, so blacked out, three teams of five. The biggest twist that we've obviously talked about a lot is the fact that the winners not only vote two people into the Presidio, but vote two people straight to the Redemption House.
What do you think of that?
That twist would have been, I wish the challenge was individual. I wish that power was, that way everyone kind of had their fate in their own hands, as opposed to, like, relying on a team. I know this was, I mean, everyone kind of had their own bandwidth based on the way the challenge kind of played out, but I wish they were doing this power for just one person as opposed to a team.
Does that change at all if they had let them, like, pick teams?
No, I'd rather, if they were doing this as teams, I'd rather them be randomly drawn.
Why is that?
Because I'd rather the main cliques potentially be split up rather than they're all kind of like they could plan it out where they have a majority like within each team. I'd rather kind of just be randomly.
Right. Because you could say, like, I agree with you. I'm happy they did this randomly because it also, like, puts people of different factions in different teams. Although I do think a more savvy team captain would have thought of that to try to make sure if they lose their people on their team that would just get picked to go home. But the other side of that is, like, you've played a good social game if you're going to get picked well on the team. Like, you're rewarded by being on a good team because people have recognized you as being a good competitor. So you have a little more agency in that. But I agree. I liked the randomness of the teams. I also like this. I loved that MTV this season has fully embraced no rules. Like, they've never had rules. It's frustrated me in the past. This time, at least, it's like a rule that there are no rules. And I love that you can just expect TJ's just going to come in and say, nope, two of you going home right now. And it doesn't bother me because that's the way they've crafted the narrative of the season. So yeah,
you can almost say this season is dirty.
Yeah. So I appreciated that. This is something that probably would have normally annoyed me, but it's just part of the game. And I think them having an opportunity to go to the Redemption House cushions the blow of fairness and unfairness a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I would have, because that would go basically against the fundamental nature of the challenge if you could just literally vote someone out. Like, that just goes against like what the show is. So I'm glad with Redemption House, they basically like sending them into an elimination.
So the way the teams shake out, Bananas, Hunter, Jemmy, Kara and Jenna, Tori, Camilla, CT, Derek, and Leroy, Jordan, Tori, Kayla, Brittany, and Veronica. Did you have any like feelings about these teams going in?
No, because I mean, just based on the challenge itself, where you know they're all in like a blacked out room, they have to scratch and claw to get a combination lock and then solve a puzzle. I think it was, I mean, I don't know how you could have a clear advantage over anyone. I thought this was kind of just like whoever has the light bulb click first on the puzzle, that's kind of the team's going to win.
Yeah, and in this case, it's like Bananas is canceled out because it's an advantage to have him because he's the only one who seems to figure out that once you have three numbers, it's faster to just run the dial. So kudos to him. But Bananas is about as good at puzzles as I am at any athletic competition. So good on Bananas for getting out fast. Bad on Bananas for sucking at puzzles.
Yeah, I mean, it's very clever of him to think about that. But yeah, this puzzle, I mean, this seemed like a very difficult one. And I kind of wish they do, like, sometimes they show, like, how long it takes. It seemed like this took them a long time, not to mention the amount of blood that was, like, streaming out of Jordan and Hunter's hands.
Yeah, no, that's true. That would be great. Yeah, people were like, oh, why were they the only ones who were hurt? I mean, I think you get those bloody hands by smashing through the glass the wrong way as opposed to, like, it being from the scratching paint.
That's what I got a sense of, yeah, which I thought was actually pretty dangerous that they were, like, smashing glass and having, like, climb through it. That seemed like a kind of dangerous thing to do.
Well, I thought it was breakaway glass until they, or whatever, like the prop glass, until they were just like bleeding from their hands. It looked like it did fall out cleanly if you took the time. Like, it definitely wasn't like, you know, because Hunter like or someone takes their hands to it and it just shatters. So I don't know. Who could say?
Right.
I was thinking, like, this is totally off topic, but it did make me think, like, are there doctors who are like, oh, I'm going to medical school because I want to work on a TV show, or like even more, I want to work on a reality show? Because, like, there are lawyers, like, who, like, want to be entertainment lawyers when they're in law school. I'm like, I wonder if that's the same in medical school.
I'll have to go scour the closest. I'll go to NYU Med. I'll see who's going there for Survivor 101 medicine.
Yeah, if we have any medical students in the audience, please let us know. I was curious about that.
I did like the Jordan joke about how this is, like, using all your fingernails to, like, scratch something off. And, of course, you know, Jordan kind of a disadvantage there.
I knew you'd love that. You're like obsessed with Jordan's one hand.
Well, because they make such a point that anytime there's like a very important challenge that he's involved in, it's always something where it's an extreme disadvantage to only have one hand. I know that's like a lot of things on the challenge, but it's literally like something where it's like hold the thing with both your hands, or this one scratch and claw to get through. Like, it's so blatantly like clear about just like how much of a disadvantage this guy is at all the time, and yet he is still so freaking good at this stuff.
I know it's like, Teb, you're not actually supposed to do any sort of educational activity where you put yourself in someone else's shoes because you couldn't possibly actually understand. But I would like to watch you document like I don't know, like a day with a mitten on your hand, or like a week, just so you can see that it's not just challenges, but
obviously it's
no,
life.
I'm kidding. yeah, good on Jordan. I knew you would love that when he said something about it, because then it like frees you up to acknowledge it. Whereas,
you know what? You want to be like the asshole, be like, look at this guy with one head, he has a scratching claw, but then it's like, okay, he's making a joke. Now I can laugh at it also.
All right, so Veronica wins the puzzle for her team, and we get like the montage of people giving her props. Where's Kayla though? Because Kayla only wins this challenge just like last week or 2 weeks ago because of someone else on her team. So like, where's Kayla's session of being like, you know, like really after that she wins the challenge for me and she wins the elimination, like good on Veronica.
She's too busy trying to find someone else to shit on and then wonder why they hate her.
No, it's pee on me and tell me it's raining, not shit on them. Yeah. Or
so she's
pee
drinking.
On
their she's drinking water to like rehydrate.
Yeah. So I did like how, I mean, good on Jordan too for saying, "All right, TJ's gonna ask us right away. Let's convene."
Also, just quickly, I love Banana like yelling at Hunter for bleeding. I thought that was hysterical.
Oh, I didn't notice that. What happened?
Yeah, he's like, "Hunter, stop bleeding everywhere."
Gross. Oh, I missed that one.
It was like a freaking loss when they yelled Sawyer on the raft, stop bleeding. It was unbelievable.
I also missed that one, because I missed all 6 to 20 seasons of Lost, whatever it was.
Just 6.
I guess I just knew that as a piece of trivia. Yeah. Good for me. Good for you for actually watching the show. All right. I do like the editing of this, how we see them talking, like, all right, this person's too good to lose twice, so if we send them now, they only have to lose one redemption challenge.
Yep. Yep.
And the women saying they don't want to see them in elimination. I love that we saw the rationale without seeing the names. I almost wish we did this every episode.
Yeah, I thought the way this was edited was great, but I was just like so angry because like the credits like were starting to come up, or maybe they were coming up like right after. I'm like, just give me the answer. And I hate when they do this. They cut off the most dramatic moment when it's like just take another 10 seconds just to give us the payoff.
And I also think it's unfair because, like, I'm okay with not seeing who they vote into an elimination. We should have seen who gets sent home, and then we give us the spillover of, I was going to say the hangover. Give us the spillover into, like, who's going to be in the Presidio.
Exactly. Give us the two people going home, and then end with, like, their shock reactions, and that's how the episode ends. Like, I just hate when they do this. Like, when they cut off an elimination when it ends in, like, 10 seconds. Like, it doesn't end anything. And all it does is take away from the moment.
I wouldn't be surprised if next week's episode is a dramatic extension of the two people getting voted in. Then we have the vote-in and the Presidio, and that's it. And then we see, like, two shots of people going to Redemption House. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if we get absolutely jack shit next week.
I think it'll kind of be similar to this, where the episode ends with the challenge ending.
That's a lot. That's a lot of ground to cover.
Well, I guess. Well, let's. I mean, usually they do redemption with three people in it. So actually, no. Maybe you're right. Maybe they want episode of Holy Crap 14 to just be Redemption House again.
Unless it's the Purge.
I would assume I'm gonna guess the Purge happens after. So if they do another three people redemption, one person comes back, then they do a Purge, which kind of also messes with what we're hoping for, because then it kind of takes away people's like decision making when the alliance has to kind of lies itself. So that's also not.
Yeah, I would rather a purge, if we're going to have a purge, I would rather it be before the Redemption House. Let's get all the purged people to be able to compete in Redemption, and let's have like a really contested Redemption House where somebody really earns it to come back.
I would be fine with that. I think it is not going to go that way, though.
Yeah, I don't think we're getting that, but I would like that more.
Yeah. So who do you think are the two people that, I guess, they're both sent home and sent into the Presidio?
Well, we have Jody Hartung, who says, who would you send straight into the Redemption House? So who would I send, or who do I think is going to get sent? I think it's definitely going to be Camilla or Kara. I wish it was going to be Camilla, but I think it'll probably be Kara. Mm-hmm. I would send Camilla in. Give her her lumps for the Leroy shit. Give her her lumps for being the most annoying person on the planet in this challenge and useless. I think it's less scary too, because if I had to go up between Kara or Camilla, I'd rather go up against Camilla.
Yeah, that's why they should send in Kara. I 100% agree.
But do you think they should send in one of them? Or do you think there's another person that they should send in?
I think, for especially since Kayla's in that faction, 100% you send in Kara, Camilla. Because it's your, in this, with the way this theme is going, you basically have to eliminate someone twice, and this makes you possibly just eliminate someone once in like a 3 or 4 person elimination. So I think it is very clear you have to send in Kara.
I just realized I might have said Tori when I announced the teams, Jordan, Tony, because I had T-O-R-Y. Typo. Okay. Yeah, I think it's interesting, right? Because you have Brittany and Veronica here. If Brittany's not playing both sides and is firmly committed to Veronica and Jemmy, then, I mean, Kayla, Tony, and Jordan are the majority here. So they can vote whoever they want, independent of Brittany and Veronica, assuming that Tony is still working with them in his mind. Mm-hmm. I think, like, I'm trying to read the votes, right? Because, like, theoretically, Veronica, Kayla, and Jordan could vote to send Hunter in without Brittany or Tori.
Say that again? So theoretically,
Jordan, Kayla, and Veronica could vote and send Hunter in. If you're Jordan and you're Kayla, you probably want Hunter in.
Mm-hmm.
I could see Veronica. I mean, Veronica and Hunter maybe are close. He did that throwaway vote on Jemmy. So it is, I think this is the perfect five because their allegiances are so screwed up. I think if I'm Jordan, I want Hunter in, and I don't care who the girl is. Like, I just give it to the women to decide. I just think that's Jordan's attitude. I think Tony's going to do, it looks like Tony was just agreeing with people. I hope it's not CT.
That was my thought. I think it'll be CT.
Yeah.
Just for the same reason with Gar. I think he's just the toughest person to get out in an elimination, and I'd rather have him having only lose once as opposed to trying to beat him twice.
I'm shocked that it's not going to be Hunter, though. Like, if you told me, like, a lot has changed this week, or for some reason there's just this, like, understood permission to violate the alliances to send someone to redemption in a way that there hasn't been in the double cross. Because if Jordan wanted to get CT out, double cross him. I mean, Dario's not going to beat him. That's the difference. They don't have to get beaten by someone to leave. But they are just kind of throwing out the rule book.
Yeah, I agree. I think there is, like, that weird sense where everyone knows this is a moment to make a big move. So it's kind of like, okay, if someone makes a big move now, it doesn't necessarily mean that if CT or Bananas, whoever is voted in, is going to take it that way. I'm sure they won't be too happy. But I think for everyone else, they won't be thought of as all like Jordan, and Jordan's like a snake for trying to do this. I think it would just more be a one-on-one than that.
Right. All right. So I just like talked around this and didn't really make a call. So you think it's going to be CT and Kara?
Yeah.
Why Kara and not Camilla? Just the edit?
I mean, I just think Kara's sick. I think she's better than Camilla.
Okay. I'm trying to look at the... I think those are strong picks. Who would I want it to be? I would want it to be... I'm not discounting that this isn't just a big red herring and it's going to be Hunter.
I mean, I think Hunter is a very good chance to be voted into the Presidio. I just think for this vote, it just makes so much more sense to go after CT or Matt.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard in this case because... But see, does it make sense, though? Because you know 100% one of them is coming back. Like, I just think CT goes in, CT's beating. I guess maybe Hunter could beat that. It's so hard to say with this group of men.
Especially if they're told, like, oh, the last one was, like, an eating competition. It's like, I mean, I know they probably have a leg up because they've done more of these, but at the end of the day, it could still lose that one.
I think it's riskier with the women to send Kara in, who will act in retaliation. Like, there's no making amends with her. Like, she will
but it's
never.
Also like, but it's also a group of five, right? Like, so it's like she could act in retaliation, but she can't go after all three, Kayla, Veronica.
But no, but Kayla's clearly. No, I'm talking purely for Kayla because Kayla's the one in this alliance with her. Brittany and Veronica, they've said each other's, or Kara's called out Veronica. No love lost there, no risk for them. I think when Kayla votes for Kara, that's going to be lethal to Kayla and Jenna because Kara is going to go to redemption and Kara has, I would say, 9 out of 10 chance coming back against any of the women left in the field who could possibly go to the Presidio and or just any of them.
Yeah, so I mean, if you're Kayla, I think the move has to be you vote in Kara to redemption and then you have to just double down and vote Camilla into the Presidio.
Because you already drew the battle line, so you might as well hope that Camilla loses. That way, one of them is guaranteed to go.
I think if you're Kayla, you vote for Jemmy and let the rest of the house, rest of the group take them out. I just don't think this is the time to piss off Kara when she's going to come back.
I think it's important. You're going to have to take your chance unless you'd rather just do it yourself in elimination. I think you may have the opportunity anyway, so you might as well take a quick shot.
Yeah, no, I just think take your shot when they're going to actually go home.
Not going to miss my shot.
That's not the lyric, but okay. So, not even. Blah, blah, blah. All right. Ryan Deschamps says, however dramatic will Camilla and Cara Maria be if Kayla plays smart and eliminates one of them?
Camilla's never over dramatic. What are we talking about?
I'm so sick of having to even say her name. I really hate her.
It's a bad first date. It's very fair. That's the fun.
Yeah, no, they'll lose their effing minds. 100%. Yeah. Camilla more, so. I think Cara might be able to more take it.
I think Cara, I'm cautiously optimistic that Cara would take it in hand.
Well, we get this confessional where she's like, it's my fault. I lost the challenge.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Shout out quickly to MTV for actually not spoiling it on the coming attraction. Like, they just showed the five winning people, like, in their nomination voting. The first time, like, ever they actually edited a coming attraction correctly.
Yeah, good for them. Good thing I never pay attention to that. So I never get spoiled. Catherine Lemieux says, if the pink team, CT, Leroy, Derek, Tori, Camilla, or the blue team, Jemmy, Cara, Jenna, Bananas, Hunter, had won, who do you think they would have chosen to the Redemption House elimination?
It would have been actually very interesting if the Cara team won, because that was Cara and Jenna. So that would have been an interesting battle to see if one of them can convince, or like who Jemmy would side with to get out, either Camilla or Kayla. That would have been actually very interesting to see how that would have played out.
Assuming that Cara and Jenna wouldn't have just voted out Brittany or Veronica.
Yeah, Brittany or, yeah, exactly.
See, I think CT, Leroy, and Derek as a male trio would have been very interesting to see. I think it would have just been Tony.
But I think it would have been Bananas.
Well, see, that, I mean, that would have been, you have CT, Leroy, and Derek, who we just argued about who's closer to Bananas. Pickens and
all three.
That would have been amazing.
But I think, again, to what we discussed, I think everyone just understands that this is, like you said, basically a free pass to, like, cut someone's throat without being thought of as, like, a snake. The fact that it's just, like, voting someone immediately out of the game. And I think for all three, because, again, it goes to the point where Bananas can't go after all three of you at the same time. He has to only do one at a time. So, especially for Leroy or Derek, this is the perfect opportunity to just, like, make your move and be able to still kind of, like, snake to the background.
You know who wouldn't understand that? Bananas.
Right.
Yeah, when you look, he'll just take money out of your hand if he can at the end. I will say, like, I am just hesitant to believe that this is going to pay off. I will breathe a sigh of relief when it does. But I just, like, I've been burned before.
Look, if it's Hunter and freaking, like, Jemmy, I'll be very, very, very disappointed.
Yeah. All right.
When is the challenge ever let me know? Before?
I think it's way more certain to be Cara or Camilla than it is to be one of the top guys. That's because Hunter is on par physically with some of the best guys in their group. Mm-hmm. So it's not like picking Jemmy.
Right.
But it'll still be disappointing. And if it's not Hunter, kudos to Hunter for not being him. Got himself out of a really certain death.
Good for him.
Blah, blah, blah. Andrew Shadlock says, assuming Bananas is on top of this totem pole, how does he rank the other guys still in the game? Is CT his number one or is it Leroy? Well, you have a sleeper pick in Derek.
Yeah, I think he's probably closest as like a personal level to Leroy, but I think he views Leroy as a bigger threat than Derek. So I think he cut CT and Leroy.
Eric J. Williams says, please tell me you saw the commercial for winning the signed Bananas t-shirt. I guess there was a hashtag during 90s House to win it. Brian, as the ultimate Bananas fangirl, was the potential to win the shirt enough to get you to watch the show? If not, what Bananas product being up for grabs would get you to watch?
Well, I already own the bobblehead, so there's not much more I could possibly get.
All right. So Andrew Kirk says,
What one challenger would you want to have memorabilia from?
I already have memorabilia from the great Cheyenne. Right? Andrew Kirk says, what do you guys think of MTV going into shows like Big Brother and this show from the UK for the next season, good or bad for the show? I'm sure this is a question you've been expecting, both listeners and Brian.
I'll be honest, I have no idea what that MTV show even was. Like, I never heard of it before. I guess it's a UK show. That's why I guess I never really.
I think it's called X on the Beach or something like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, for them, I guess I'm fine with it. I love bringing in Big Brother. I hope they bring in everyone. They should bring people from The Bachelor and bring people from Survivor. I love it. Bring them more the merrier. I hope in a few years it's all people from not in the real world.
So it's not the same show. So that's the thing. I've always thought that VH1 celebrity reality stuff, or like, you know, I Love Money and things like that, where they got people from all of their VH1 properties. They're doing it again with it's all VH1 properties or related to VH1 to do that like horror thing. I think it's brilliant in the way that I think the challenge is brilliant because it capitalizes on the fandom of these people already. I just think that to bring in people from all reality shows is a different show. It's not that like for the people who care about the challenge historians, how great it is to see Veronica back, like to bump people who are on the show and on the challenge before for four Big Brother people of varying interest to me, to say the least. Is to me the show is on its way out, or I am on my way out of the show. Either one. I thought when Bananas, so for anyone who doesn't know what's going on, Bananas is rumored. All of this is rumors, but it seems like too big to be too like a rumor at this point. But I'll take all this with a grain of salt if you want. Bananas is rumored to be on the upcoming season of Celebrity Big Brother, which I was so excited about when I heard, because I was like, Bananas is going to be on like a legitimate show on CBS, and that's going to bring a new wave of audience members following him to MTV. To me, that is enough, and MTV should have been happy enough with that than to need, again, four players of very varying popularities and put them on MTV. Like, to me, the cost is not worth the benefit of people coming to watch one season of Meech. So the rumored contestants are Natalie, Meech, Victor, and Cody. So I'm very much out on this.
See, for me, I think in this day and age, all these reality show people, even though like they may not be on shows together or the networks together, I think they're all just living the same bubble that they all like. They all know each other. So to me, I think pulling Victor is like the same like known quantity as pulling like Dion from a real world season. I think they just all live in that same world and same bubble that they all just know each other. That it's, and then once they're on the show, it's just like the same thing. So I love that they're trying to bring people and bring more like eyeballs to the show. I'm in on it.
Yeah. So I don't think it's to me like who knows each other. I don't give a shit about that because there's no way these people are going to be well received. And like the Are You the One people weren't well received. Like, even if you know each other, you're not well received your first rookie season. So that like the contestants knowing each other doesn't bother me. It's just like the other thing is like these people don't understand what the show is in the sense that like Big Brother, you don't drink at all. So like, God forbid these people like drinking, you know, like it's just going to be a whole different animal. There's nothing of the level of physicality on Big Brother as there is on the challenge. I can't speak to X on the Beach. And it's also who they chose. I am furious. Like, why are we getting two weak competitor females? Or we're getting like two dramatic females who will cry and freak out and try to hook up and whine. And then we're getting Victor has personality, but two men who are known on Big Brother for just being compies. Like Corey had this like no man's showmance with Nicole, who's now dating Victor actually, which may make that interesting. But like, we're getting athletic guys and whiny girls. And it's like, come on, if you're going to at least cast new people, get us some more athletically competitive females. Like, we don't need Meech to come in and cry and bitch like she did on Big Brother. I'm sorry. That to me is not entertaining. And so if you're going to bring people in with a real shot. And this is just kind of like, you know, a slap in the face to a show that I love. And I think this is a jump the shark moment for the challenge. I think it will continue to go on and have success. I think it will lose some of its core audience members, but it doesn't seem to care. So that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I can see your point about the choices that they made for the people coming over. But for me, like, that's why, even for like when they brought in Are You the One, like, I know it's not kind of the same thing, but at the end of the day, like, bring in new people, bring in interesting people. I'm fine with it. And again, I guess that goes to your point about the choices that they made. But in terms of where they're getting them from, I'm totally fine with it.
Could there be a more uninteresting casting decision than Cody?
Yeah, I mean, I think is it just because they want him there because Victor's there to see, like, the dynamic, the fact that Victor's dating Nicole? Is that, like, the reason? I don't know. But yeah, Corey was, like, a dub zero personality-wise, so.
Yeah, for anyone who didn't watch Big Brother, good for you. Cody is a complete dud. Victor, not a real smart, strategic guy, but an entertaining guy, depending on what you like. Meech is just a whiner and a crier. And Natalie is just like a flirty, nice young woman. I think that pretty much sums them up. I'm just like pretty upset. And like, maybe I'm aging out of the challenge. Like, this to me is just like, and part of it is like, maybe it's the thing I was complaining about with Jordan. Like, there's good TV and then there's good strategic moves. Like, maybe it'll be good TV, but it's not why I watched the challenge.
I can see your point. That's totally fair. But me, I like it. I think it'll be a fun dynamic. And I mean, like you said, I'm even more excited to see Bananas on Celebrity Big Brother. I really hope that's true.
Well, there's no way that it's not true if this is true. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no way these four are joining. Like, CBS is not going to give up their contracts with these four and let them on the challenge if they're not getting something. And MTV is not paying that price.
Very true.
All right. So we have some tweets from Megan Elizabeth. Thank you very much. Working double time on Are You the One and on the challenge. So not a lot to talk about on Twitter, but Kayla says, I'm over Veronica and everyone else saying I'm stupid. Who's the one with the college degree here? Okay. Then Kayla says, I don't know why everyone hates me. I really don't care. Then why are you tweeting about this? I'm worried about myself. I don't compete to make friends. I compete to win money. Then why are you writing, I don't know if everyone hates me? Okay. Then Anissa tweeted, it was super emotional to go against a friend. You don't have the same fire, but I'm super proud of V-Cake. She beat me fair and square, which is like a real double-edged sword there. Like, I didn't have the same fire, but like, you still beat me fair and square.
Yeah. I mean, totally fair.
That's it. I have a couple plugs, getting some synergy going between the Are You the One podcast with Adam Bongiovanni. We just recorded today the third episode. If you're wondering where these Are You the One people are from and want to check it out, it's definitely not too late to jump in. We have a lot of fun on the podcast. It's on the same feed, so easy peasy. I am also going to be checking into the RHAP B&B this weekend with Liana Boris and Mike Bloom.
You have a professor named Michael Bloom.
He's not my professor, but he does work at the university. Okay, I don't mean to talk about people. I don't know. Okay, so Mike Bloom, podcaster, not professor, to the stars. So that should be fun. Check that out. Just like a Hollywood game night meets Survivor, also happening on the reality TV wrap-ups.
Boom. Check it out.
Now no one's going to listen to it.
Because I can't be endorsement.
No, just check it out.
You can find that. You can subscribe to just our podcast at robinswebsite.com/challengeiTunes and get us up to the 205 star reviews. You can follow me at @ColinBryan_. They can follow you
at @LashTweets.
We'll be back next week for episode 13. Until then, have a good one.